It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Ahead of spring bird migration, we learn how laser technology to deter birds may help prevent avian influenza viruses from spreading from wild birds to domestic poultry flocks. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Craig Dewar is regional sales lead for the Bird Control Group. Craig, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for having me.
So your laser system is operating now on some Wisconsin dairy farms. Can you explain the application of lasers in that setting, you know, farms without poultry?
Yes. Excuse me. So we had branched out from the normal, what we were doing many years ago from the agricultural. We brought it into the other side of the dairy, the aquaculture and so forth, and the poultry farms. We found that we were able to move the birds, mainly usually starlings and pigeons you're going to find in these dairy barns. We were able to move those birds out of there with our laser. And as we program it to run different types of patterns throughout the barn, and the birds see that laser as a threat coming in there to harm them. So they just want to leave the area where that laser is deployed.
And so how would that system then compare to what you have been deploying for poultry farms?
It's the same system, just using it in a different sense or different setting. We put the lasers on the outside of the poultry farms, mount them on their barns, and then we program it to cover a certain area, the rooftops of the barns, in between the alleyways of the barns, and in some cases the surrounding fields that are adjacent to the barns and the farms.
So how do lasers work in warding off birds? What's going on?
So when we see, as humans, we see a green dot when it's moving through an area in the daylight hours, the birds are seeing a whole beam, like a lightsaber, if you will. And as it is moving, we just put different patterns in there to move throughout an area that we're asked to cover. So they're seeing that from a great distance. And they see it as a threat, like a stick coming at them or a predator moving in. The object is just to move it slow through the area. And as they see that, they just want to avoid the area altogether. So it does a great job in at least doing that.
And laser light, I think it comes in a variety of colors. What is best for deterring birds?
In all of our studies, this laser was developed. It's a class 3B laser. It was developed in 2012 in the Netherlands. We are now on our second generation that came out in 2019. And we found that green is the brightest spectrum of light that the bird's seeing. We have used red. We've used other colors as well. But we found through all of our studies that green is what they see best. And so that associates danger as it comes through there. When it's being ran.
And do all birds react the same to these lasers?
In most of our studies, yes. There are a couple of birds that we've dealt with throughout the years that just don't react to it at all, and it doesn't harm them. It doesn't affect them, I should say, excuse me. So one of those is a woodpecker, and we have no idea why.
Craig Dewar is with us, regional sales lead for the Bird Control Group, as we talk about warding off birds on poultry farms and the impact of that. You can join in questions and comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Craig, how many lasers do you need per farm to be effective at deterring these wild birds?
It's based on the farm size, how many barns you have, and how the barns are laid out. But realistically, in most cases, anywhere between 2 to 6 lasers, again, depending on the layout of the farm.
Is it known? Do the lasers cause any distress in the birds? Are they harmed at all through this technology?
They are not. The object is to just move it slowly through the area and let the birds see it as a threat, and they're already leaving the area or won't even be in the area at that point. But we are doing a lot of studies with Purdue University. We did some studies over in the UK with another university, and we are currently trying to get some studies done with Minnesota University, which is the main poultry producer for turkeys in the US, so we can have more data. But currently the data we have shows that it does not harm them at all.
And you mentioned Minnesota, which is offering farms up to $10,000 in grants to install these lasers. Do you know how effective the lasers are at deterring migratory birds?
We started this program 2 years ago with a very well-known company up in Minnesota. And prior to that, those farms had had outbreaks of the avian influenza. And once we put these lasers on the farms that they had asked us to that have been hit before, after that, we have not seen one of those farms have any outbreaks in the 2 years we've had the lasers on their farms. Mm. That's the data we have. That's why we're looking to the University of Minnesota and working with Minnesota Turkey Growers Association to help get more studies in and have a better understanding of just exactly how this is working and how it's affecting the poultry industry and keeping the birds away.
Let's take a call now. Kevin in Janesville is here. Hi, Kevin. What is your question?
Hi. I was wondering if this system would be effective against predatory species, for instance, bald eagles or ospreys hanging around fish hatcheries. Could this keep the predators from attacking the fingerlings in the ponds? Thank you.
Yeah, very, very good question, Kevin. Yes, we are actually in the aquaculture industry. We've got several lasers on catfish farms down in the Louisiana area. We've now went over to the shrimp industry, and we're working in the oyster industry. So yes, it does work on the ospreys. The eagles, we're still in a trial period with those and some other predator birds like your falcons and hawks. We're doing a study currently in Kentucky on a free range chicken farm because they're just losing so many birds through the predator birds that we are doing a study there. So we should have that data within the next couple of months. But to answer your question, yes, it does work in the aquaculture industry.
Do birds grow accustomed to these laser deterrents over time?
Very good question. No, they do not. There is no habituation, because with our laser, we never run the same pattern twice. So the birds are not able to figure out which way that laser is going to move next. And with the amount of patterns and waypoints we can put in there, it's so many that they just don't even understand how it works and where it's going to be next. So they do not get used to it. No.
Craig, as we go out here, what is still a mystery about the capabilities with lasers and birds? Like, how do you build on the laser system you have?
Currently we're working. We've got a prototype for our generation 3. We're basically listening to the consumer and the end user of what they would like in the laser. Some things are going to be to where we can use Wi-Fi with it and actually be able to see the laser from your laptop at your desk. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that we're trying to improve based off of consumer wants.
Craig, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Craig Dewar is Regional Sales Lead for the Bird Control Group, and we continue this conversation about protecting poultry flocks from avian flu. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The spring migratory period for wild birds brings an increased risk of bird flu infection to all poultry flocks. The state agriculture department recommends that farmers use the strongest biosecurity measures to protect their birds. Call in with a question. You can share thoughts, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ron Kane is a poultry specialist at UW Extension's College of Agricultural and Life Sciences. Ron, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So the State Ag Department reporting the last local outbreak of disease-causing avian influenza was in January. How dangerous is avian flu this year compared to previous years?
Yeah, probably still pretty similar as far as we know. I think it's still pretty prevalent in the wild bird populations. So I have to think a similar risk from the last couple of years.
And the state says migratory birds in springtime create an increased risk of infection for poultry flocks. How big of a threat are migratory birds for spreading avian flu?
Yeah, they certainly are carrying it. A lot of the wild waterfowl, especially, we think. And so as they move through, you know, they leave their droppings and those can spread the virus.
Why would migratory birds travel to poultry farms?
That's a great question. I think I don't know that they specifically do, but if there is any water nearby, then they are probably attracted to those areas. Also, it seems probably, you know, some of the crop fields around those facilities might have spent grain and things like that.
Okay. And can you kind of explain the reporting and communication mechanisms for an avian flu outbreak and how quickly it can be suppressed?
Yeah. So if a producer notices an increase in mortality, generally they will either contact their veterinarian or the state Department of Agriculture, and samples get sent to the diagnostic lab here in Madison usually. They can turn those samples over usually within a day at most, and they'll know if there's a presumptive positive. Officially, they have to go to Iowa State to get official
Guy
confirmation.
Smith, can you hear me? Good morning. Yes, I
can. I'm sorry, we're having just a little bit of technical difficulty here. Just one moment. I think we can hear. All right, carry on there. So normally for testing, you would need to go to Iowa State, you said?
So that's the official national lab. So they get the official confirmation, but our state lab here probably knows pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, at that time, both the State Department of Agriculture and USDA would be called in. They'll quarantine the farm, and usually they'll try to depopulate that farm as quickly as possible, hopefully within 24 to 48 hours, ideally, because we'd like to not let that virus spread any beyond that farm.
Is there any other way of controlling an outbreak besides, you know, euthanizing an entire flock?
Right. at this time, that's the government system, is to totally depopulate. And really, from what I know of this virus, most of those birds are probably going to die anyway. So it's pretty nasty. There is talk of vaccination. France has started vaccinating flocks. There's a lot of political angles to that, but
what
maybe
do you mean
in the future?
What do you mean by that?
So right now, most governments, if a country starts vaccinating for influenza, most of the other countries will immediately stop any imports from that country. Hmm. So, you know, poultry exports are a huge business for us here in the U.S., and to lose all of that is pretty expensive, so that becomes a political issue.
We're talking about avian flu and how to contain it with Ron Kane, UW Extension poultry specialist. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Ron, earlier we heard from Craig Dewar at Bird Control Group about the use of lasers to ward off wild birds from farm operations. What do you make of that type of technology?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. It seems to be working well from what, you know, he reported and other things I've seen. I think, again, keeping the wild birds away from our domestic birds seems to be a big part of biosecurity. So I think it's good.
What biosecurity measures have the greatest effects on stopping the spread of bird flu?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's, you know, we do the typical things like trying to change clothes before going into barns, not allowing anything in the barns, and yet that doesn't seem to have solved the problem. There's been some studies with outbreak cases where maybe trucks coming on the farm are tracking it to the farm, things like that, but I think there's still some debate. There's some debate whether it travels in the air on dust particles as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Are there risks in taking poultry to and from market in the spread of avian flu? Is transporting birds a risk?
Yes. I think there was one report, and this was many years back, where they showed that taking the birds to a processing plant and they could see that it spread down the road behind them. Currently, you know, birds are not usually allowed to leave the farm once there's a case. So hopefully that's not a concern.
Let's take a call now. Jeff in Delafield is here. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you. You had mentioned that influenza is more prevalent in waterfowl. And why is that? And how much of a threat is that to waterfowl populations? And the third part of the question is, as a waterfowl hunter, should we be worried about catching it or spreading it?
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. The virus originally, as far as we know, started in a goose population, and it does seem to be pretty common in waterfowl. For a long time, we said they wouldn't die from it, that they would just carry it, but that has not been completely true. Some of them get sick as well. So that's that. I think from a waterfowl hunter, there's a slight risk. It's really been very minimal numbers of humans that have been affected worldwide from this. But I would be a little cautious in processing them, you know, wash your hands right after and things. So there's a slight risk, but I think it's still pretty slight at this point.
Why do you think it is that avian flu rarely spreads to humans?
That's maybe getting a little past my expertise, but I think it has to do with the receptors that birds carry versus humans inside their respiratory system. But
are there any new and novel things, you know, akin to laser technology, for instance, that farmers are doing in their poultry operations to stop the spread?
Right. A lot of people are installing, a truck wash for vehicles coming into the property. Certainly a lot of more limitations on people visiting the farms than we used to have. Some use what's called a Danish entry system, where you have a barrier that you have to cross and change shoes and clothes to get to that So those are some of the common things I've heard.
So it sounds like cleanliness is very much key in trying to stop the spread of avian flu.
Yeah, we think so anyway. And it also helps with other disease spread too.
Ron, thank you so much for joining us.
Very happy to do it.
Ron Cain is a poultry specialist at UW Extension's College of Agricultural and Life Sciences as we explore new efforts to contain the spread of avian flu. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.